This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
They got the beam on me. Okay. Playing defense, trying to draw up a scheme for me. What you mean I ain't the one? Every time I ran around, they had the whole team on me. Shorty know I got it, I just act, bro. They was hating till I dropped it, gotta act, whoa. Money well invested, they never see the racks poking. Listen close, all you hear is facts spoken. Somebody document it. Only rapper they believe, that's why they rocking with it.
I'm outstanding.
Been trying to understand it, but I can never sacrifice the music for the brand. And them jackets gotta catch me.
Can never sacrifice the music for the brand. This is what he left the Giants to go do. That boy spitting like Flo Rida. He sound like Flo Rida on the beat.
Hey, yo.
Shout out to Connor Green, who just clipped this up and cut out all the curse words. Darren Waller is rapping outside of Allegiant Stadium.
And it's hard to love.
Yeah, now you got to... Hold on, let's cue that. What, play whatever you have.
It's hard to love.
It's hard, the Kelsey Plum song. Whoa, whoa.
Take a time out and feel.
Yeah. So Darren Waller, I'm sorry. I'm going to run into Darren Waller one day and he's going to be like, you think that's funny? I'm like, yes, bro. My bad. I'm a hip-hop guy, but like.
Take a time out and feel.
Don't make any songs about Kelsey Plum anymore, ever again. And I'm confused because he's rapping outside of Allegiant Stadium. But I'm like, how many games did you play with the Raiders in Allegiant Stadium? I gotta look that up. Probably not many. That's their new building. They traded you, what, 3 years ago? I don't know. I don't know. He said, you know, the music and the branding. And, he said something about every time I was on the field, they had the whole team on me. Yeah, so why don't you keep playing? Why don't you keep trying to, I don't know. 888-808-1019. It's a new day, April 11th. Now, less than 2 weeks until the NFL draft. Who will be the Giants player that they draft that has to make an impact this year? Who will be the Jets player that they draft that has to make an impact this year? No waiting in the wings. No developing. These teams have been struggling for too long. You take an impact player that can help you on the field, help you win now. Josh is in the Bronx. Josh, you're on the Fan.
It's awesome, baby. But keep on telling you, man. Is it really going to be worthless because you still have Shane and Dable? I mean, like you said, man, I mean, you were spot on when you said about if they get another quarterback, you know, that locker room is going to be pretty intense this year with the, you know, with the schedule and the difficulty and everything like that. You know it more than I do. It's awesome, baby. Take it away, Keith. Thank you for taking my call, as always.
Thanks for the call, Josh. It's funny, right? One and done with the offseason hard knocks for the Giants. They need hard knocks in the preseason. They would never do it. But, like, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Tommy DeVito, just the quarterback room alone would be, the camera that would be in the quarterback room would be hilarious with those three guys. Malik Nabers, like, if you thought Malik Nabers had a personality and was flashy and was, I don't know, talk to Dabes, you know, wait till you see him this year. I just saw him with CeeDee Lamb. I follow CeeDee Lamb on Instagram. CeeDee Lamb came to the city this week. He was kicking it with Malik Nabers. Superstars. Spider-Man, Sexy Dexy, Deontay Banks. I don't know. Some of these new additions, Javon Holland. Let's talk about that. I did say that I liked the free agency class. And I think that they added players that can make an impact and are going to help them win. I think immediately when we saw Paulson Adebo, I'm like, okay. Just his size, pause, at corner, I think he's going to help. Deontay Banks better get his act together. That's another thing I said, too. As soon as I saw Russell Wilson take three and Deontay Banks take two, I'm like, oh, they're not drafting Shedeur Sanders. They need to sell jerseys. Shedeur Sanders taking that number two. They are not drafting Shedeur. So they have brought in Roy Robertson Harris at defensive tackle. They bring back Darius Slayton, who I think Darius Slayton is a glue guy. He's glue from all these different years of the Giants. He got an award from the Giants media as like the guy that was the nicest player to interview. He already stuck his neck out to defend Shedeur Sanders when Andre Sisco, the new Jet, was saying, oh, we're breaking on that. He better stop tapping the ball. First off, bro, like, you can't always even see the quarterback tapping the ball. You're 30 yards down the field. Like, what? So Darius Slayton is back, and they paid him more than they would have paid Saquon. James Hudson III at offensive tackle. Chris Board at linebacker. Javon Holland, you guys all remember him on Black Friday against the Jets. With that return, that was epic. Maybe that's a selling point for him to come back to MetLife. Chauncey Golston from the Dallas Cowboys at defensive end. That's another reason why I'm like, do they need to take Abdul Carter or is this a smokescreen? You have Brian Burns, you have Kayvon, you have Chauncey Golston. There's somebody else. I got to bring up the Giants roster. But it's like you draft positions of need. You try to fill. If you're picking third overall, you look at your roster, you look at the biggest hole, and you take the best player. So, like, Abdul Carter to me, I think, is a smokescreen so that whoever else in the draft needs an edge rusher calls Joe Shane and the Giants and says, yeah, we need this kid. Maybe it's the Eagles. Abdul Carter is an Eagles fan all the way. Was at the Super Bowl rooting on the Eagles, grew up an Eagles fan. The Eagles don't pick until the last pick. They won the Super Bowl. What would Philly be willing to give up? But, I mean, it wouldn't be smart. It wouldn't be wise. It wouldn't be wise for the Giants to give Abdul Carter to the Philadelphia Eagles. And then whether it's Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston, they're getting crushed. 888-808-1019. But you draft the position of need and the best player available at that position. You don't need a quarterback. You have three quarterbacks. You have three quarterbacks that have all played, started games, and won games in the NFL in the last 2 years. Why add a rookie to that room? If you have to save your job, which, mark my words, like they are fighting for their lives. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll may never get to the position that they're in right now again in the NFL if they don't win this year. Think about that. Daboll may never get another head coaching opportunity. Shane most likely, like we've seen some coaches get fired and bounce back and whatever, but Shane most likely never gets to be the GM. So every move that he makes has to have urgency. There really can't be any long plays. Speaking of a long play, the Brooklyn Nets, I don't know why we're talking about them, but you know, they've got some long plays here. Season's over. They weren't ready to play tonight. They're getting ready for the lottery. Maybe that lottery ball will bounce their way. Maybe it won't. My experience being a Nets fan, nothing goes the way that you actually want it. Jack is in Rockaway, Queens. Jack, tell the people that listen to the fan anything about the Brooklyn Nets.
How are you, kid? This is my postmortem, my autopsy of the season. I haven't been calling you much because there's not much to talk about in the Nets. But I'm totally disappointed because I'm going over Mark's career. And, you know, we glorify the, you know, how he came in and he didn't have the picks. But then there's another side of that story. He came into a brand new arena. with Brook Lopez in his prime and a lot of cap space. And he had picks every other year. You can't trade your picks every year. And he chose to give ridiculous restricted free agent contracts. He took some shots on other free agents that didn't work out. And he could have done like a lot of teams that just use his cap space, accumulated picks. So, you know, we did Joe Harris and Dinwiddie and all that. We keep talking about that. But at the end of the day, this is going on how many years? A decade? And the one playoff win series and the big three. And there's always an excuse. And, you know, if you went to a restaurant or McDonald's and this was bad and the cook didn't do this and the cashier was hungover and this, at the end of the day, it's the manager's responsibility for everything. He had the, you know, we had the big three, and it makes me even more mad. And Kenny Addison and Jody Fernandez, three great coaches, and he picked the boss's son. He put the Nash in off the street with you know, you had three head cases, and that didn't work out. I give him credit. He killed the Durant trade. He killed it on that trade, and he killed the Bridges trade. But that's really about it. And what my final score was, I was so disappointed because I when they traded Luka, I was mad because they traded Irving Kyrie to Dallas instead of getting the two unprotected picks from the Lakers because they wanted to spite Kyrie, right?
Yep.
They spited us. But then so then they traded the pick for we got one pick for Kyrie. We held on to Dorian Finney-Smith too long. We could have had a couple picks for him. And we held on to O'Neal too long. So we didn't, because it was so urgent. It was so important that we made the A seed or whatever seed we made and got crushed, because we wanted to show that, you know, that everybody left us and we could still get crushed in the playoffs. But that was so important to make the playoffs. But then I was excited because they traded Doncic, and I was like, wow, because I was so mad that they won pick to that. I'm like, you're taking the Dallas pick with a 25-year-old generational player, and instead of the Lakers who had these ancient picks. And I was like, oh, cool, we're going to get the Dallas pick. And then I looked. He threw that in too with the Houston trade. They have the ability to swap the lowest of the Dallas and the Phoenix picks. And now Phoenix is going to be a lottery team, so which is fine. He made this thing I wanted, you know, to rebuild in these 2 years, and he goofed that too. You know, you go all in or you don't. Cam Johnson, you're a nice player. I like him. He's everything. A wonderful player on an excellent team, right? He would be a wonderful player, a fourth option on a championship team, maybe even a third if you have like. But we didn't, you know. You could have traded him. We had a tank this season. We have this season and next season. We traded everything else to get these two picks back. We gave up the Phoenix picks, the swaps, everything. So this year, instead of, you have to be at my bottom three. You have to be bottom four. They all the same pick. Yeah, and instead you keep Cam Johnson. You could have had your best pick. You didn't get the two picks, so you take the best available. Kevin Huerter was available, some cap space, and a Sacramento number one pick. To me, that's great. Or you Claxton, you could just give him away and get a low number one pick for him. You got to tank the season. So now we're going to be sitting at six in probably what everyone's calling a three-player draft, maybe a four-player draft. So with all luck, we're going to probably get eighth or ninth. And this is, and then we have the 2026, and that's it. After that, Houston's got off. It would have been better to stay packed. And if you were committed to give up everything and go for the 25 and 26, these two picks back, you have to go all in. This isn't. And we, I'm looking around the league. Beside Washington, and they'll probably have a top player this year. We have nothing to build around. I mean, it's like I look at Charlotte. I'm like, wow, they got Ball, they got Miller. They Bridges is a nice player. They gotta have a top pick this year. We have, like, what do we have? We have like
Dan, we have a bunch of role Dan players. Dan. We have a bunch of role players. We got to see some young guys play. Sean Marks has nine lives. If we had a different owner, he would have been fired already. But the owner has no idea, so he's got to trust in Marks. In Marks, we trust, and he gets to.
I would like to give the kid the Denver GM. We need a new voice.
They're giving him another opportunity to rebuild this team. He's safe, and we'll see what happens in the draft this year. I do not feel confident about that ball bouncing their way. Like you said, they might have like the eighth pick. I just know for us as Nets fans, it never goes our way. Even a little bit of hope that we have, it disintegrates so quickly where it's just like, what's the use? So don't expect much. Don't, you know, we're not getting Cooper Flagg. We're probably not getting Dylan Harper or Ace Bailey either. We're not going to be picking there. We're going to watch, like, the ball's going to bounce and the rich are going to get richer. Like, how stupid was it this year that, like, we couldn't beat the Wizards? The Wizards, like, they didn't know how to tank. They lost games in the beginning of the season. Then they went on a rally where it's like, oh, they're competitive. For what? And then when you get close enough to the play-in, then you start losing again. And then they have injuries and they rest guys. And you've seen so many different randoms play for the Nets this year. It doesn't make sense. There was never any direction. Sean Marks seems to be the guy that just wakes up and goes to work and figures it out for the day and goes to sleep and has no idea what the next day is going to hold.
I know, man. Thanks for taking my call. I'll give you a call after the draft lottery. Hopefully we got some good news. Thanks for taking my call. Hope your summer's going well.
Thanks for the call, Jack. 888-808-1019. No more Nets calls. It's pointless. It's frustrating. It's stupid. I think the Nets have a future, but it's not until like 2028 or beyond. And so much has to happen right for them to be competitive again that their future might not even be then. We'll see what happens with those Knicks picks down the road, right? Those eighth graders that people talk about as if they're like not like, come on, they're not in eighth grade. We'll see. 888-808-1019. Done talking about the NBA draft. The NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away. And it is very important for the Giants to hit on a player that can help them win this year. That also gets the fans excited and motivated and want to go see that player play. Malik Nabers did that. That's why I was saying, anybody telling you, drafted Malik Nabers, he didn't have a quarterback. You hit on the best receiver in the draft. That's a generational player. That's a guy that's not going anywhere. That's a guy that's going to dominate in the league for a long time. Now get him a quarterback. And what they decided to do was to sign two veteran quarterbacks and let those guys battle it out and hope that they stay healthy or whatever. I don't know. But I just think that Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston together is a lot. And there might even be some issues in the locker room because I think that locker room is going to take to Jameis Winston's personality more so than Russ. And the way that the contract is set up and the way that it is right now, like Russ is the starter. Let's go to Eli in New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Eli?
Hey, once in a while, the Giants are in like a hole.
Yeah, the Giants have been in a hole for some years now. It's tough to watch them, and I don't know how they dig out of this hole. I don't think they have the right guys with the shovels. I think they got the wrong guys, and those guys have kept shoveling them deeper and deeper.
No matter what position they play, they won't get good because their O-line isn't good enough.
Yeah, it's not even that. It is, but it's not just that. Their offense, right? When you watch their offense at times, it doesn't seem like the rest of the NFL where, you know, these teams are able to score and move the ball. It starts with the quarterback play and the offensive line. They have two competent quarterbacks. If they can keep those guys upright, it's on Dable this year and Kafka too. And I don't think you'll see Dable calling the plays. I think he's going to give that up. That was a bright idea for last year that wasn't so bright. They got to be able to score. And Shane Bowen, I would have fired Shane Bowen. If somebody's head's got to roll, right, somebody's got to be held accountable. They didn't fire any of those guys. They fired the DB coach, safety coach. Like, I would have fired Shane Bowen. Get a different defensive coordinator. He's not Wink Martindale at all.
Yeah.
Cheer up, kid. The draft is coming. And that brings hope and energy and excitement. Dun, 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 dun. Like, you're going to see profiles on these players. The Giants are going to draft some players you've never heard of. They're going to draft some players you have heard of. And you're going to see these guys' height, weight, 40 time. You'll see their highlights. You'll hear interesting stories about them from high school or college. And you'll get the social media stuff of them getting the call and their family celebrating and them coming to New York or coming to East Rutherford, New Jersey. And then it starts. The journey of, okay, everybody says that the Giants have the toughest strength of schedule. Everybody says that the Giants can't win. But it's their jobs to put together a team and coach up that team and have enough talent where they're able to compete. I've been saying this for weeks. The year that Brian Dable won Coach of the Year, he was coaching his ass off, but also Wink Martindale in that defense, Wink was coaching, and that defense was keeping the game close. And when you have a running back like Saquon Barkley, you can control the clock. time of possession. You can move the chains. You can get a first down. You can win in short yardage. You can go for two. And Daniel Jones running the ball that year too. Unaccounted for. It's an extra guy. Okay? You go through your reads. Check one. Check two. First read, second read's not there. Take off. And that was enough. With Richie James. They were throwing the ball to Richie James that year. Who else was... I forget who else was a wide receiver. What was the white boy from West Virginia? Sills? He was only short-lived. Kenny? I forget his name. Kevin? David Sills. Remember him for a little while? Let's see. I remember doing the show with Kim Jones. And every week, we would talk to Giants fans on Thursdays. Sometimes we would have a Giant join us. And every week, Giants fans would call, oh, they're going to lose. They're not going to be able to beat this team. And yeah, what's the use? And Kim Jones and I would try to talk them up and be like, eh, well, you know, you never know. Like, you know, they make some plays here and they did make some plays and they did figure it out and they did win some games. That's the formula again. And back then they were saying, you know, the roster was bare. The cupboard was dry. They had no talent. They had nobody. And they were able to figure it out that year to steal some games and get into the playoffs. Well, here we go again. They're going to be underestimated. They're going to be looked at as lesser than. If they can run the ball, I'd draft another running back. I would draft another running back. There's some good running backs in this class. I'm not saying draft one high, but I'd draft another running back that's a different type of style. Like, you hit on Tyrone Tracy, a kid that was playing wide receiver and just becoming a running back. I'd get a bruiser. I'd get a big body running back. I gotta take a look at some of the running backs in the later rounds. I'd get a bruiser. I'd get a short yardage back. And Brian Daboll, you're supposed to be a quarterback whisperer. You should be able to get the best out of Russell Wilson, who has been around for so long, has been in all these different types of systems, and you know, is a positive guy, rah-rah guy, a visualization guy. And even Jameis Winston, right? You should be able to get his turnovers down where I think Jameis could beat him out. If Jameis isn't turning the ball over, he's younger. I think the players are going to take to him more, his personality. I think Malik Nabers is going to like the ball that he throws more than Russell. You know, that offense in Pittsburgh sank with Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson at the helm. Brian Daboll is going to have to win another Coach of the Year award this year to save his job. Chris is in Bergen County on the Fan. What up, Coach?
What's going on, Keith? How are we doing tonight?
Hanging in there, starting to transition into the more of the Giants, and then we'll get the Jets and talk draft as we're getting closer here. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
I hear you. Hey, let me go through just a couple numbers for you, okay? Offensive ranking numbers. You ready?
Yep.
2009, 31st. 2010, 31st. Those are the Browns. 2011, Miami, 22nd. 2012, Kansas City, 23rd. 2018, Bills, 30th. 19th.
I'm picking up 23rd. What you're putting down.
Okay, so this is the OC, the whisperer, that you hired to be your head coach, who's tied to Eric Mangini. How did that all work out for them, for everybody involved with him? He's won with Tua at Bama. Other than that, yeah, he's been an assistant on a couple good teams.
I could have won with Tua at Bama.
He developed one quarterback, supposedly.
I can't keep giving him credit for that. Josh Allen just won the MVP without him. You know, we always want to give him credit for Josh Allen. He helped Josh Allen for sure, but Josh Allen was always going to be Josh Allen.
He helped. He did not develop. He helped. That's it.
And the whole thing, Coach, he was supposed to come here and make Daniel Jones the next Josh Allen.
Listen, he was kind of on that road, you know, until he went and got, you know, he blew the knee out and the neck. You know, other than that, yeah, that derailed them big time. But yeah, I don't see where they brought these guys back to do this, to bring in Jameis, and And Russ? Listen, I'm impartial to Jameis because I'm an FSU fan, but you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I loved that season. I'm a Florida State fan, too, and growing up. That was a great run. Jimbo Fisher.
I'm going to give you one other stat, okay? Negative 50 yards rushing. Do you want to know who that was last year?
Yeah, I remember the game.
No. For the season. For the season, negative 50 yards rushing. Want to know who it was?
Negative 50. Oh, Shador.
Negative 50 yards.
No, wasn't there a
Shador.
Game?
He takes so many sacks, and he's immobile.
There was a game last year where Daniel Jones had, like, negative yards in the first half. I got to go look.
It was. It was like 4 or 5.
I got to go find it now. It was an odd stat. I remember listening to Bob Papa and Carl Banks, and they were just like, the way they were describing the first half stats, it's like, how does this happen? I think he completed some passes, but for no yardage.
One other thing out of the blue, David Sills was a quarterback out of Eastern Christian Academy in Maryland. We had him up here back in the day. It was brutal.
Yeah, Daniel Jones throws for 0.5 yards as the Giants lean on run. That was against the Commanders. Was that the game that the Commanders kicked the hell out of the ball? All they did was kick field goals to win it? Or was that the second game? There was some weird games last year.
I think that was the first game.
They didn't score a touchdown. Yes. The Giants.
It was all kicks. It was all field goals. It was the field goal game.
It can't happen. Can't have that.
Absolutely brutal.
But, yeah, Brian Daboll, here you go. You know, Brian Daboll is, he's supposed to be this offensive guru, and I've heard him talk it. He can talk the X's and O's. He knows what he's talking about, but talk is cheap. You got to execute. Now you have two NFL-caliber quarterbacks. You have a number one wide receiver. Let's see what they add. Let's see if they get this offense right, this offensive line right. Now they have to score points. In this NFL, which is all gambling and parlays and fantasy points and everybody, it seems, it doesn't matter who's playing can score three touchdowns, can score at least 20 points. They got to be able to score points.
Got to be able to do it.
Thanks for the call, Coach. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I'm going back. And AI is like, in the first half of a game against the Washington Commanders, New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones had 0 passing yards, making him the first player since at least 1978 to throw a touchdown and a half while recording 0 passing yards. The Giants, however, leaned on their rushing attack. With Jones also fumbling the ball, the Commanders built a 21-7 lead. The Bummanders, that's what Gilly the Kid calls the Commanders, the Bummanders. They're not bums, though. They made it to the NFC Championship. They got Deebo Samuel now, and they're looking to draft a running back. That's another thing, too. Your division is going to get better. They're already good. The Dallas Cowboys will not have Cooper Rush out there. The Eagles are still the Eagles. I think the Commanders are going to be the Commanders. They'll probably be a little bit better than they were last year. They lost some games last year. Like, the road to winning and finding wins starts with the teams that you play twice. You got to be able to at least split with those teams, and I don't see them splitting with those teams. That's 6 losses right there.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You already know who it is. The Dark Nighttime host. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Hanging out, talking to people in the chat. Hello, everybody in the chat. Some good conversation comes from the chat. You know, I brought back the Big Shot of the Night segment. I also have taken the Tell Me Something Cool segment from the Yankee pregame show and made it a part of my show. Another thing that I want to make consistently a part of my show is things from the chat, you know. I think that's just what I'm going to call it, things from the chat. People online, you know, throwing things out from the chat. And, you know, someone said, does being a Giant mean something? You know, that once a Giant, always a Giant, that Giant's pride. I don't think it has the same glow at all. You know what would have preserved that? Saquon Barkley, who was adamant about wanting to be here. This is where I want to be. They know this is where I wanted to be. And I don't know how many rants I went on about how if that man tells you this is where he wants to be, you grant his wish. You worry about the other stuff later. You don't worry about his legacy. You don't worry about getting him. Oh, you want to be a Giant? Like, what I was saying in the chat as well about the Giants, and we're going to get into the Jets more, but this is a way to transition into what I was going to say about the Jets. 888-808-1019. Football players know who the alphas are. There is levels to every level of football, right? How they talk about Hall of Famers, they say there should be tiers and different levels in the Hall of Fame. Every football team knows who the top dogs are. And I feel like the Giants, moving on from Gettleman-drafted guys just to move on from a few of them, obviously not all of them, Andrew Thomas, Dexter Lawrence, they paid Daniel Jones, but they move on from Julian Love, and we'll keep going through this list, Julian Love, Evan Ingram, Leo Williams, Xavier McKinney, Sterling Shepard, Saquon Barkley. When you lose those guys in your locker room and you don't immediately replace them with talented guys, with guys that can lead and guys that are, I'm talking about the guys that are the strongest guys in the weight room. I'm talking about the guys that are the toughest guys on the field. I'm talking about the guys that show up early and stay late and just naturally have it. And like, I hear Tiki Barber talking about it. If you don't have the like hunger to be great, the want to be great, you won't be great. I didn't have the hunger to be great when I was playing college football. I just was happy to be in college for free and be around. You feel me? Like, just to be a scholarship athlete. And when I mean be around, not be around the team, be around the girls, be around campus, be away from home, be away from the apartment that I grew up in. But I did have some teammates that were like, all in, this is it for me. I'm not studying anything. I'm not smart like you. I can't talk like you. I'm football. It's all in, nothing or else. But like, what I'm saying is, you on football teams, in that locker room, in the weight room, on that practice field, we all know who is who and what is what. And I feel like the Giants took away so many guys that were alpha dogs, and they weren't able to replace them. So when Bongwater Brad in the chat says, does being a Giant mean something anymore? Like, they are trying to redefine what it means. Dexter Lawrence is tired of losing. Malik Nabers is here saying, go ask the coach. I'm tired of losing. I just got here. They need to find some Giants pride. They need to win now. It's been long enough. 888-808-1019. You need to find some dudes. You need to find some leaders. You need to find the type of guys that walk in the building, and they're the type of guys that you want to be first off the bus. Tyler Warren is one of those guys. Go Google Tyler Warren. I am full on the propaganda of Tyler Warren. I was happy to hear Evan open up the show today and say that he did a deep dive and looked at Tyler Warren film. I haven't done that. I watched a handful of Penn State games. I watched him in that bowl game. And you don't need to see much film on Tyler Warren to see that. He is a man. Almost 6'6", 260. He's going to come into the Jets building and be ready to go day one. He's going to come into the Jets building with, like, I did my Tell Me Something Cool two nights ago, I think. And what I did with my Tell Me Something Cool was say, you know, his dad told him to wear 44 like John Riggins. And when you get the ball, you run like John Riggins. This guy had played quarterback in high school. It's funny, too, because that happens a lot at Penn State. They draft these guys that are tall and play quarterback. When I was coming up, I played against a kid named Brett Brackett. Brett Brackett played at, I can't remember Brett Brackett's school. somebody listening probably knows that went to school with Brett Brackett. I'm Googling him now. Brett Brackett went to Lawrence High School. We beat them in the second round of the playoffs. And then I saw Brett again in the Governor's Bowl All-Star game. He was playing quarterback, but he was going to Penn State to be a tight end. And he played at Penn State at tight end, and then he went on to the NFL because he was, you know, 6'5", like Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren is a guy that, like, has, you know, filled out. He went there, and he really became. He was a three-star recruit. He really became with the Nittany Lions. I talked about Olu Fashanu and how they drafted him out of Penn State last year. These two guys know each other. They have a rapport. They'll probably hit it off and be best friends with the Jets. After passing on Brock Bowers last year, why not go get the top prospect at that position this year? I know there's going to be an emphasis on running the ball. I joked with somebody online as we learned about Allen Lazard taking less money to stay. Allen Lazard is a blocking receiver. He's been in the end zone more than Josh Reynolds. He's been in the end zone more than Malachi Corley, who cost himself a touchdown by celebrating too soon. The fact that Allen Lazard wants to stay here, take less money, knowing that you've got four running backs. Justin Fields, who can still throw the ball, but he's going to run. Justin Fields, Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, Isaiah Davis. You think that they might want to draft Amon Mbeu to be the bookend right tackle across from Olu Fashanu, but that's not going to get the people going. Your first pick of the new regime, you can get a tackle in the later rounds. You can get a tight end in the later rounds, but not of the likes of Tyler Warren. 888-808-1019. I think the Jets got to take this kid if someone doesn't take him before, you know, they get to him. Oh, I'm a Jets fan. I had a Jets draft question or a Jets draft call, but, it gets late. Takes too long. I can't get to him. Hell, I'll keep going. I got plenty. There's going to be other tackles that you can take in the draft, later in the draft. I think you need a sexy pick. I think Justin Fields needs the safety blanket of a big target like this guy. We know who your number one receiver is with Garrett Wilson. We know who your number two receiver is with Allen Lazard. You get Tyler Warren. He comes in there day one. He's an ox. You get him. He can stay in certain formations and block. He can also go out there and help the offense. The spotlight's not going to be too big for him. He's big man on campus at Penn State. And, like, you want to hit on a guy, right? I see some mock drafts have Teteroa McMillan. And I like him. I like how he profiles. I think he's going to be like a faster Mike Evans. But he's coming from Arizona. It doesn't always work with those West Coast guys coming over here. I think Tyler Warren is a foolproof. They never seem to, you know, draft and land a top tight end. And I understand you have Yeboah and Ruckert and even Stone Smart from the Chargers who they drafted. So what? You're going to run two tight end sets? None of those guys are Tyler Warren. And if he comes here and wears that 44, that'd be so tough. Anyway, 888-808-1019. I think I've said enough to get some Jets fans on the line. Tell me who you want. And I don't want to hear the pessimistic Jets fan. I heard someone call into Evan and Tiki's show and say, oh, we draft him, he's Kyle Brady. The Patriots draft him, he's Rob Gronkowski. Well, he's already been compared to Gronk, George Kittle. And in this modern-day NFL, you need a tight end like that. Look at Brock Bowers last year. Look at the Eagles, who they didn't have Dallas Goedert. They had, who was their backup tight end that filled in and was making moves for the Eagles last year? And I'm like, they're just so deep. I think I might have picked him up in fantasy for 1 week. Grant Calcaterra. I don't think I pronounced the name right. Grant Calcaterra? Grant Calcaterra. You need a tight end. You need a tight end. Because you could throw a little 5-10-yard pass to that tight end, and then he can do the rest. I think the Jets got to take this kid at tight end. And I know, you know, for another example, as the calls are lining up, 888-808-1019, like, coming from Detroit's offense and how they use Sam LaPorta, like, there are some times where Sam LaPorta is wide open in the end zone. There are times where Sam LaPorta has two touchdown days. This kid's better than Sam LaPorta. And there was a caller that talked about the Jets coaching staff. And if you know anything about Ben Johnson started off as a tight end coach. And now Tanner Engstrom, the offensive coordinator for the Jets, I believe once Ben Johnson became the offensive coordinator, Tanner Engstrom took over with the tight ends. So that caller made great points, and Tiki was like, you're spot on. Like, you draft this kid who's already a boss at tight end, he's coming into a situation where he's going to be coached upright. This is not the old regime. This is not Rob Saleh. This is not Joe Douglas. They draft this kid, he is going to fit the culture, he's going to get the fans excited, he's going to be somebody that can score touchdowns, that can knock guys on their ass, that can block, that can help Justin Fields and help this offense. 888-808-1019. Mark is in Manhattan on the Fan. Go for it, Mark.
All right, now. Keith, I love what you've been doing. Let me just say this, okay? All right? I want to be fair. Okay? I jumped in midway, so I wasn't really sure about what you said as far as were you for the Giants picking Shador if the opportunity came or not. I'm not really sure.
I am no longer with drafting Shador Sanders after you signed two veteran quarterbacks that started games and won games in the NFL last year.
Okay, I understand that, and I respect that. And I'm not going to make this long-winded, okay? Let me just get right to it, okay? I didn't like those choices either, you know what I mean? Both of those guys are pretty much on their way out. Jameis, he's going to be a career. We know what Jameis is. Russell, he's on his last leg. And for the money, it was just all about the money, and these are stopgaps. These are quick stopgaps. And so as far as Shador is concerned, I keep hearing, oh, he takes too many hits. Oh, he doesn't move that well. I mean, come on. What I'm not hearing consistently, Keith, is that he had no O-line.
Right.
For the whole time, he was, come on. I mean,
so let's talk
ridiculous.
About it.
Come on. This is football.
I watched at least five of his games last year.
Yeah. I mean, you got to
Kristen Bergen County just called and said that he had negative 50 yards rushing. How do you get negative 50 yards rushing?
I heard that.
You're taking sacks. You're taking a lot of sacks.
Yes.
He was always running for his life. Deion was not able. Deion was able to recruit skill position players. He was not able in 2 years to get the top offensive lineman. Even his left tackle was a freshman. So like you just like that game against Nebraska. I'm like, oh hell no. Nah. There's no way they're not stopping these big corn-fed country boys from Nebraska up front. He was running for his life. Even in the game against BYU, people held it against him. He took a hit where he got his bell rung. And even his dad's like, are you all right? But he stayed in the game, but he might have been semi-concussed. He was always looking for green grass. He was always running and spinning out of the pocket, trying to hold on to the ball, find green grass, set his feet, and throw it downfield to Horn or to Hunter or whoever.
That's right. And what you don't hear, and this is my last thing I'm going to say. The scouting report on Daniel Jones before he came to the Giants, and we all knew it, everybody knew it, is that he's injury prone, and he throws it to the other side. What you don't hear about Shador is this. He doesn't get hurt.
He's tough.
He doesn't give the ball away. He doesn't get the ball away. He doesn't make any interceptions, if any.
He's accurate.
You know what I mean?
He's very accurate.
He's accurate. So I'm like, I'm not saying he's perfect, but give the kid a chance. What are we doing here? We're starting over anyway. We got two guys on their way out. Come on, we got two guys on their way out.
You should have fired these guys, because if you had a new head coach, new GM here, they would say, we can work with Deion's kid. We'll take him at three.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't assign two journeyman quarterbacks that are really on their way out of the league.
On their way out. That's all I got, man. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Mark. I was on board with Shador from him showing up to New York during the Heisman and throwing with Malik Nabers in the streets in New York to going to Nike in the middle of Manhattan or lower Manhattan and getting those uptowns. He got all white Nikes. Air Force Ones, and he put red and blue laces in them. Wink, wink. On top of the cleats. He never wore them on the field. I don't know how many times I heard hosts on the Fan say, oh, well, he wore cleats in the game. He couldn't wear those cleats in the game. And if you watched him play, he always had cleats that matched the uniform. Black and white, black and gold, white and gold. He never wore those. Deion said they got a bunch of colorways of those Nike DT trainers. Those are Deion shoes. But when they were getting ready for the bowl game, somebody took a picture of his locker and it had those Giants cleats. I think the Giants went out there all season to scout him. I know they did, because I can think of at least twice that I saw the assistant GM, Brandon Brown, and Shane out there to watch them. But I just think circumstances changed. And I think these guys are on such a hot seat that they're like, we cannot draft a quarterback at three. They went out. They wanted Matthew Stafford. They tried to get Stafford. They tried to get Aaron Rodgers. They ended up with not Stafford or Rodgers. They wanted to get Hall of Fame Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks. Well, they got one. They got Russ. And, like, honestly, when they got Russ, I'm like, why do you need Russ? You got Jameis. I would have been down with the program if it was get Jameis, draft Shador, and when Jameis throws pick sixes and you're not winning, you can throw Shador in there in week 10. 888-808-1019. But that is off the table now. They've already telegraphed them. I will be surprised. I'm sure I will be on. I will be so surprised if they add Shador Sanders to this run. He still would like to come to New York. I know his dad would like him to come to New York. There was a video that floated out about, you know, Deion talking about all that. That pregame prayer is going to be off the chain with Jameis Winston and Russell. They're devout Christians, and they're very open about their religion and their spirituality and their belief. I don't know. I don't think they're taking Shador Sanders at three. 888-808-1019. Take the best available. They need to win. And I think that's where their focus shifted. And it's funny, right? Like, did they tell John Mara, hey, we're going to get a veteran quarterback in here? There was all this talk about, you know, Shane talked about taking swings at the quarterback position. Maybe they'll draft a quarterback in this draft, a young quarterback in this draft, not at number three, maybe later. Maybe if they trade back in this draft and Shador Sanders falls, then they got to take him. If they trade back from three because, I don't know, the 49ers want Abdul Carter or something, maybe. I just don't think that they're staying put and taking Shador Sanders. It doesn't make any damn sense. You're taking the number three overall pick for a third string player? When there are players that you can draft there that can be first string and make an impact week one, and you're fighting for your NFL lives, you need to win. So it's not about projects. If you wanted to draft a project, if you wanted to draft and develop a quarterback, you should have done it last year or the year before.